This is the Ingles Information Aisle with Leah McGrath, helping you eat healthy, feel great, and understand your nutrition. Now, here's your host, Ingles dietitian Leah McGrath.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome to the Ingles Information Aisle. This is Leah McGrath, your Ingles dietitian, and I am indulging myself a little bit by having a special guest on the show today. Her name is Meredith Lee, and I think that, and Meredith's joining us by phone. Hi, Meredith.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So your name started kind of popping up on my radar in a couple of different ways. I think first it was seeing an article about you in Edible Asheville magazine, which we're now advertising in.
Great.
Ingles is advertising, not me personally. And then, and I think I was talking about it to my husband, and then I saw you something else about you on Facebook. It might have been Jonathan Ammons. Do you know Joe?
Okay.
Yeah. He might have mentioned you. And so my husband and I said, oh, look at this. This is kind of interesting. This woman looks like she has a really interesting backstory. You know, it looks like she used to be a vegetarian and or a vegan, and now she's a butcher. And and so we're going to be talking about that. And then coincidentally, my husband noticed that you were going to be doing a demonstration at the Brevard Farmers Market.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, hey, you know that woman that you were kind of stalking online? She's going to be at the Brevard Farmers Market. So it was the next day, so I got in my car on a Saturday morning and drove about 45 minutes out to Brevard. I know. See, when I do things, I do it up.
A long way. Good for you.
And it was a hot day, and you were out underneath a tent, and you were demonstrating. This was about a month ago, I guess.
I remember.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you were demonstrating how to cut up a chicken. I think that was the thing I saw. And you were also doing this cool thing with this kind of clay pot cooking thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, welcome to the show, Meredith.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for stalking me down.
You're welcome. Well, I was just really interested in your story. And I want to mention before we go too far along the line, your book, which is sort of, if people buy your book and read your book, they're going to hear not only the story about, not only recipes and the story about how to butcher animals, but also a lot about your personal philosophy. So do you want to tell everybody the name of the book?
Yeah, sure. It's called The Ethical Meat Handbook, and it's Complete Home Butchery, Charcuterie, and Cooking for the Conscious Omnivore.
Okay.
And then it certainly is part memoir as well as a technical manual.
And I want to also mention while we are at this juncture that if people want to find Meredith online, you don't have to like stalk her like I did. You can find Meredith has a really nice looking website here. It's MaryLeeFood.com. So it's MereLeeIgh food.com, right?
That's right.
And you're also on Facebook, and you're on Twitter too, right?
I am. Yeah, it's just Merely Food is the handle for Instagram and Twitter as well. So
now, do you have a team of people who help you with this, Meredith?
Oh no, no, no.
you're kind of a one woman show there.
Yeah. It keeps it busy, you know. All that happens in pajamas.
I can relate. I do a lot of my best work in pajamas. So, So let's talk a little bit about your background, because I think a lot of people will be really intrigued to hear about how you went from being, were you a vegetarian first or a vegan first?
I was vegetarian first.
Okay.
I was vegetarian starting out in high school, maybe a little bit before then. And I think, you know, a lot of people at that stage in their life are starting to awaken to, you know, challenging the status quo, I guess.
Sure.
It was a very good thing. And I saw some, you know, documentation about the horrors of industrial slaughterhouses and, you know, animal welfare concerns and stuff, and made that decision. And felt that it was something I could do, you know, to sort of buck the norm. And then I moved on. I came to Asheville right around the 2000 to study at Warren Wilson College, and it was originally in the creative writing program there. But I started working in a garden for kids and just really fell in love with growing things and you know, healing soil with agriculture, and quickly changed my major to sustainable agriculture there at Warren Wilson, and ended up farming right before actually I graduated from college. So I started out still vegetarian, but I was farming A to Z organic vegetables and cut flowers. And we were at farmers markets, and we had a CSA. And around about sometime in there, right when we started our farm, I made a trip overseas to Vietnam. And I had done a lot of traveling in high school and after high school. But this particular trip was pretty eye-opening for me because I was able to visit some very, very rural communities in North Vietnam and was able to take a closer look with my agriculture background at how people were shaping their corner of the earth for nutrition. And I was struck by how integrated and how essential animals were in those systems, not only for fertility, but also for survival.
And that was very pivotal for you to see that all that?
Hugely pivotal for me. And I think that the connection to eating came when, in Vietnam, it's actually a gesture of friendship to place food in another person's bowl. So certainly as a guest in someone else's home, I was not going to turn away a piece of water buffalo when it was placed into my bowl. And I think that was actually my first bite of meat, you know, in about 8 years. And it just really, it definitely changed my perspective on things, knowing what I knew at that point about agriculture and food. Well, and seeing that, you know, my position or that my perspective growing up American had maybe been a little bit skewed. And that there are certainly ways that we can incorporate animals into our diet that is not a great idea. We can make poor choices, but we can also incorporate animals into our agriculture and our diet in a way that is certainly beneficial.
Well, we're talking with Meredith Lee, and Meredith is a writer, butcher, farmer, cook. That says it right on her website. You can find her website at MeryLeeFood.com. Stay tuned to the Ingles Information Aisle. Welcome back to the Ingles Information Aisle. This is Leah, your Ingles dietitian, talking with Meredith Lee. Meredith is a writer, a butcher, a farmer, and a cook, and you can find her website as Mary, M-E-R-E, leefood.com, and you can order her book, which is called The Ethical Meat Handbook, Complete Butchery, Charcuterie, and Cooking for the Conscious Omnivore, right on her website. And Meredith is also on Instagram and on Twitter, so you can find her all sorts of places. And you know, Meredith, when you were saying in the first segment that you started off as a creative writing major, mm-hmm. I can totally tell that you have a really nice writing style.
Thank you. You
have a really nice way with words, and you're very descriptive about things without being like, you know, there's a fine line between being descriptive and being like having literary diarrhea. You know what I mean?
Mm, yeah. Okay.
I don't know. That's TMI. I don't know. But, I think you paint some really nice pictures with your words. So that it's really, I've enjoyed reading some of the things that you've written, even on Facebook. It's been kind of fun to read what you've written.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, I think that was a goal for me. It was really intentional for me in writing the book, is that, you know, I really want to show people new ways of looking at animals and animal farming and farming in general. And I think a lot of times the information that's out there about animal agriculture and meat and food is a little bit soulless. And so I think that, you know, having that personal notes in what is otherwise a technical book has been surprising for people, but that's also been really accessible for people.
Well, and it was really interesting. Well, I want to kind of come to talk a little bit about you as a butcher, because we've kind of talked about how you sort of made this transition from vegetarian, vegan to somebody who was an omnivore. But how did you get in? Did you go to school then to become a butcher, or were you, are you self-taught? Did you learn with others? How did that happen?
I didn't go to any kind of accredited school. I have learned from some master butchers, which is to say they showed me what to do and it all flew over my head and I figured out what I didn't know. And then I just practiced an awful lot and I'm still practicing. I mean, it's definitely an artisan skill, and it's dying in many ways, but I really believe if we want to get good meat on our plates, then the artisan butcher is indispensable. And so it takes practice and it takes diligence. And, what I say to people is that you just have to start. You have to do it.
Well, I liked when I was, when I went up to Brevard to watch you prepare, do the chickens, that you were very, you gave good explanations in trying to tell people how to bone the whole chicken and, you know, remove it this way and use this kind of tool. You know, if we start from the whole aspect of, I think a lot of problem times with consumers is they don't have the right tools to even begin that process, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think in general, the average home cook is probably using inefficient tools throughout the kitchen, you know, not just when it comes to meat.
Sure.
So that's a huge topic. And we do, you know, I do classes and stuff just on like maintaining knives and purchasing knives and getting the right tools together. But I mean, that market demo is a great sort of gateway class because working with whole poultry is a great way to start. You know, it's small and it's, you know, it's easy to learn and it's so economical to work with whole poultry, but it's still so rare among the average consumer, that it's, you know, it's just such an important and a great way for people to get started.
So, you know, Meredith, I remember, so I'm really dating myself, but I remember home economics classes. We had to learn how to break down a whole chicken.
Yeah.
And that was
great.
So, yeah. And when I was watching you do that demo, that's what I remembered. I'm like, I remember having to do that, having to make, you know, get the chicken breast. So it was, you know, take it off the bone. I remember having to do that. I don't think that was my mother teaching me that, or maybe she just helped me once I had some of that skill. Uh-huh. But a lot of those skills, how to break down a hog, how to break down a chicken, how to fillet a fish, those are all things that people do not know anymore. Those are like lost skills, you know?
Yeah, totally. And it may not be necessary for us to know how to break down an entire animal as a home consumer, but certainly understanding, you know, butcher chop would be, you know, larger cuts than what we are familiar with, you know, larger cuts than retail cuts like subprimals. And even some primals, it's going to save money for the consumer to buy as whole as he or she can. And coincidentally, it also is better for the farmer to buy as whole as possible, because that eliminates extra processing costs.
And waste,
Right, and waste. And so if we are educating ourselves about how to use more of the animal, waste less of it, and break it down ourselves, then everybody's winning in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I, by the way, Meredith, if you ever need me, I can fillet a mean fish, just so you know.
Oh, right on. That's great.
Yes. I used to work in a seafood store when I was in college, and I filleted fish until I couldn't like put my fingers together. My hands would be so sore, you know, especially busy time. And I hadn't done it in so long, and my husband went fishing and brought back some whole fish, and he said, well, you know, we can take it somewhere and have it filleted. I'm like, you know what? I think I can remember how to do it. It's like that muscle memory.
Yeah, you're like, definitely muscle memory.
I know I can remember how to do this. So I think it's kind of fun to do that, actually, fillet a fish or, you know, cut the breasts and do the chicken that way. So I think it's kind of
fun. Absolutely. It's very empowering and it's creative work and, you know, really spark your imagination for different things that you want to actually do in the kitchen as well. So it's, I mean, there's lots of benefits to doing it yourself.
Yeah. And if you, in the case of fish and in the case of chicken, if you do have that whole bird or the whole fish you're working with, and then you fillet it or you take out different chops, now you've got some wonderful bones and meat that you can make stock with. I mean, And hey, don't throw that stuff away, folks. Make some wonderful stock that you can use for soups later on. There's just some lovely things you can do with that. And we've got some incredibly talented chefs here in this area who are just so super creative with trying to use more of the animal up. And we can talk about that more in the next segment. But Meredith, have you ever been up to Knife and Fork up in Spruce Pine?
I have. Yeah, it's a great spot.
He does like fish marrow, like he does all kinds of crazy stuff.
He's doing real creative stuff.
Very creative stuff. Yeah. So if you're just tuning in, I want to make sure we mention again, Meredith Lee is a writer, butcher, farmer, and cook. Her book is The Ethical Meat Handbook. Find her website as Mary, M-E-R-E, Lee Food at LEIGH food.com. Stay tuned. We're going to be talking with her more about, you know, maybe some things that you can do in your own home to be more conscious about the meat that you are, how you're preparing meat. Welcome to the Ingalls Information Aisle. This is Leah, your Ingalls dietitian, talking with Meredith Lee. Meredith's a writer, butcher, farmer, cook. And we've been kind of talking about how she got into this space of being a butcher and going from being a vegetarian and a vegan. And make sure you look for her book, The Ethical Meat Handbook. So, Meredith, you know, in our stores, we have real butcher shops where we actually break down beef in our stores, which is kind of unusual. A lot of markets have gone away from that. But Mr. Engel, our founder, his background mm-hmm. was as a butcher. That's
oh, wow.
how he started off. And we do have some women who are working in the meat departments, but it's predominantly men. Do you sure. get a lot of men who are like really surprised to see you in that space?
You know, I'm not necessarily in the butcher, maybe so. If they're surprised, I can't tell.
Okay.
I've met a lot of great friends. I'm doing a lot of traveling for the book, and man, I've really, really made a lot of great friends, and made a lot of connections and learned from people, and they've given me lots of credit. I mean, it's been really rewarding, and certainly being female is different, but it has not been as much of a barrier as I thought it would be.
Yeah. Because I know in general, in the culinary world, a lot, I mean, we're so, you know, privileged here in Western North Carolina to have this vibrant food scene and some very, very outstanding women who are in the space of the culinary space. I mean, of course, we've got Katie Button, who a lot of people know from right. so many publications. I don't know if you know this, our chef, Our executive chef at Ingalls is a woman.
Great.
Yeah, Lisa Ronan, who got her start at the Grove Park Inn.
Oh, I know her.
You do?
Yeah, I met her at a thing at the Grove Park, and we reconnected actually at the Mother Earth News Fair. And
yeah.
And it was like this crazy, you know, reconnection, and she gave me Jar Pickle.
Exactly. That's
she's really sweet.
Yeah, she's very sweet. She's super talented.
Awesome.
And so we're kind of running through all of your backgrounds a little bit here, the writer, the butcher, the farmer. I want to touch on the cook. And we were talking during the break about, you know, the home cook, you know, mm-hmm. and sometimes they'll buy cuts of meat. They're not really sure what they're doing. And then they're unhappy. What are some advice that you would give to people about cooking beef or chicken that could really help them to elevate that meal or to not be dissatisfied with what they're cooking?
Sure. I think that the number one thing that I find myself instructing people to do nowadays is to buy a meat thermometer.
Meat thermometer. Yeah. Great advice.
Take the temperature on your meat as you're cooking it. The number one mistake that people are making, particularly with beef and lamb products, is that they are overcooking them. And if the item is overcooked, it's definitely going to be tough. The second thing I would say, and we used to joke about this at the butcher shop, and folks would come in and taste something and say, wow, that's excellent. How long did you cook it for? And we would say, until it was finished.
Right.
With a very intentional answer. There's really no time or temperature prescription. It's very dependent on the size of meat, the
sure.
type of meat. you know, and the any pre-preparations that you did,
yeah.
whether it was brined, whether it was marinated, et cetera. The second thing I would say is, if you're, you know, educate yourself. Certainly, you know, if you're going to buy a cut of meat that you're less familiar with, look it up online. There's a wealth of information on the internet these days. And I would also say that really the bulk of a carcass, particularly we're talking about ruminant animals, like lamb or goat or beef, they really favor low, slower cooking as opposed to grilling. And so, you know, America's got a great grill culture, and everybody knows how to throw a ribeye on a grill. But what we don't know how to do so much is things like braising and things like smoking. And these are things that I touch on in the book and things that I touch on in classes. Because maybe they're great skills for people to have in the kitchen, because it really just opens so many doors for you in terms of how you can enjoy animal products and animal proteins. And the last thing I would say about that is, if you've got a well-grained piece of meat in front of you and it's finished cooking, if you cut with the grain, you will have a lesser quality eating experience, because it's going to be tougher. In general, you want to cut at a 90 degree angle to the grain of the meat, and you're going to have a more tender eating experience.
And can you talk about letting the meat rest? Because that's something I think a lot of consumers don't understand.
Sure. So anytime we are, working with meat in refrigeration, it's, you know, changing the water in the meat, and it's changing the proteins in there. And so anytime you take meat out to thaw or prepare to cook, it's a great thing to just let it sit for a little bit before you throw it on a high temperature grill or even in a, you know, a low temp situation, and just let it not cool off, but I guess maybe just acclimate a little bit.
That's a good word.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you let it rest after you've finished cooking it.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And all meat will continue to cook once it's removed from the flame. So that's another thing to keep in mind with your meat thermometer, is that you don't necessarily, I mean, obviously with poultry, we want to be really careful. We want it to be at 160 when we eat it, you know. With your beef and your lamb and things like that, there's a little bit more wiggle room. But you can remove it from cooking a little bit before it reaches your desired temperature, which is, of course, going to be, you know, 155 or so for pork. And it's, you know, as low as 120, 130 for beef and lamb that don't have to be cooked completely well done. But once you've removed it from the flame, just let it sit for a little while before cutting into it or before eating it. And that's just going to, again, it's going to acclimate, and it's going to taste much better.
Well, I love that you said to get a meat thermometer, because of course, as a dietitian, I'm a big fan of making sure you cook your meat to the proper temperature. That's so important for food safety. And I think it's also really important. I think what I hear a lot of times from consumers is, and I think you've touched on this, is that we're in such a hurry sometimes that we don't understand that expectation of getting the meal on the table in, I don't know, 10 minutes or less is not really fair to every cut of meat. So that may be a huge mistake, and you're just basically wasting money. Well, we've come to the end of the segment. Meredith, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to chat with me. And again, folks, Mary, M-E-R-E-L-E-I-G-H, food.com. Look for her book, The Ethical Meat Handbook. Thanks so much for joining us, Meredith.
Thanks for having me.